Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
I am CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and welcome to your community as Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network. And joining us here today on the Your Community Podcast is Steve Yoder. He's the Regional Extension Educator with Community Development with Purdue Extension. And Steve is part of a program that Purdue Extension is sharing out throughout communities all across Indiana. It's called Building Stronger Boards. And we know that there are a lot of different community organizations, a lot of nonprofits, a lot of 501(c)s all across Indiana that are working to better their communities. And Steve, the program, if I'm not mistaken, you're just looking to provide some training to folks in those communities, how to make those boards stronger, how to make them basically follow the letters of the law. But Steve, first of all, tell us what the Building Stronger Boards program is. Kind of give us a rundown of the program and how the program was first developed by Purdue Extension, Steve.
Certainly, CJ. A couple of years ago, the entire community development program within Purdue Extension held a meeting. It was our annual retreat. And we were looking at what some of the greatest community needs are that we're hearing from throughout the 92 counties of Indiana. And in that retreat, it kind of bubbled up that really the strongest need that we were seeing at that time, this was a couple of years ago, was board training for community boards. So we're talking about those community groups, maybe your nonprofits, like you said, your different charities, say like your animal shelter, any type of nonprofit that serves a community. There was a need that we were seeing throughout the state to have those dedicated volunteers just better understand what their roles and responsibilities are in serving in that capacity. So we developed this Building Stronger Boards workshop. And there's different versions of it. There's a half day version. There's a full day version of it. But basically, it's designed to help participants. And those participants tend to be, of course, board members as well as paid nonprofit staff, if the nonprofit is large enough to have paid staff. Helps them understand what their roles are, how to hold meetings, and really understand what we call the board development cycle, which is the three phases of board development that all boards go through, the phases of recruitment, engagement, and renewal. That kind of keeps that board going and really governs that organization through the long haul to make sure that it's financially sound, that it's governed well, that it's following the letters of the law, and that it's really being as effective as it can be to provide good impact to the community.
Steve, I'm curious, when you get the opportunity to hold these workshops and you travel across all 92 of Indiana's counties, and you chat one-on-one with folks from this community organization, this nonprofit organization, what are some of the main challenges? You touched upon a few of them earlier, but I'm kind of curious as we take a deeper dive, what are some of the more specific challenges that you see that a lot of these community boards and nonprofits are facing from an organizational standpoint and beyond?
Good question, because I just came off of a full day workshop down in the southern part of the state a few days ago. And what really came up as a topic of discussion amongst the board members in that workshop was understanding their roles, and in particular, understanding the difference between what it means to be governing an organization versus managing an organization. Really, the role of a governing board is what it sounds like. It's to govern and not to manage. And the problem a lot of boards face is that they don't necessarily understand the distinction between kind of the long-term strategic planning that governance covers versus the day-to-day management that the staff and volunteers kind of handle, and understanding kind of, you know, what their role is versus the role of other staff and volunteers. So we had some great conversations about kind of that difference in role. And it was challenging for a lot of folks to kind of tease those two out. But by the end of that conversation, they really had a better understanding of what their governing roles were. Really, because you need somebody to kind of look at the long-term picture, look at strategic planning, look, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road versus the day-to-day. That's really not the role of the board. So that was a really productive conversation.
Absolutely. Chatting with Steve Yoder, Regional Extension Educator with Community Development with Purdue Extension, here on the Your Community Podcast, as we talk about building stronger boards in the program available through Purdue Extension. And we're not all lawyers. We're not all attorneys, Steve. And I know that that certainly helps, because a lot of community organizations have legal counsel. Especially when it comes to drafting bylaws, when it comes to making sure that all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. And I'm sure that's something that is that something that you would recommend to a community organization, a nonprofit, to certainly have that legal counsel, just to make sure that all the bows are tied up in a nice, beautiful bow at the end of the day.
Yeah. During that discussion of what the roles and responsibilities of board members are, one of the things we talk about is that they are also fiduciaries of the organization, which means they are responsible for making sure that they are following through to the letter of the law, the requirements of nonprofit boards. And so you are correct. We recommend that if that board does not have someone with an expertise in the law, say an attorney, if they are not on the board, then they need to, garner their advice, at least when it comes to drafting those bylaws. They need to be able to make sure that, like you say, they've crossed the T's and dotted the I's, particularly with the bylaws, which is sort of their constitution, the legal document that governs the organization.
And Steve, we often, every once in a while, you hear those horror stories about how one community organization, one nonprofit, perhaps there was someone who was taking some money from the organization. They had an opportunity to, quote unquote, steal, allegedly, from their organization that they served from. You hear those really horrible stories every once in a while. I mean, it's few and far between, thankfully, but a lot of times when you hear those stories, they do make the news cycle. A lot of times, though, when it comes to finances, also, when I've talked to different community organizations, one concern is that, well, if the community organization were to kind of fall by the wayside, if there was a lack of engagement and the organization just, let's just say, ended, you still have money in a bank account that may be sitting there forever that no one knows exists. And I know that certainly is one concern as well. So once again, I would imagine finances would be a very important topic when you're talking to community organizations and trying to strengthen these boards as well.
That's right. So in addition to the kind of the legal requirements, they have that, again, fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the finances are being managed well. We talk about a concept known as duty of care. So that's one of the responsibilities of boards, is that they have this duty of care to steward those finances that they've been entrusted with from the community, from the donors, from the folks that are supporting the great work that that organization does. So it is up to the board members to make sure that they are fulfilling individually, each one of them, that duty of care by making sure they review the financial statements, before board meetings, and to make sure that if they have questions about the finances, if there's something they don't understand about the financial statements, that they ask those questions with due diligence, because that is a big part of their responsibility. And you're right. organizations can get into trouble because they weren't really paying attention to that. I also heard you mention kind of a lack of engagement. That is a big challenge that all boards face, is how do you keep board members engaged and how do you keep that organization thriving? And we talk quite a bit. We spend probably actually the most amount of time during our workshops talking about board engagement. You know, how do you make the meetings engaging so that people are interested in attending and contributing? How do you run those meetings so that everyone has a voice, so that you don't have those parking lot meetings after the meeting is over where some of the business takes place and it probably shouldn't be? So again, that's kind of a sign of disengagement. So we talk about ways that boards can really make sure that all members are engaged with the work of the board.
And Steve, when it comes to holding board meetings, I've been in those meetings before. I'm sure you have as well, where it starts at 6. Next thing you know, you're looking at your watch, you're looking at the clock, and it's 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you're looking around going, how have we been in this meeting for 3 hours? And I'm looking at our notes, and it doesn't look like we've really accomplished all that much. We talked about the weather. We talked about all the other peripheral things that really didn't have anything to do with the meeting agenda. How's the best way to get such a meeting on track each and every time you have one of those meetings, Steve?
So we spend quite a bit of time during the workshop talking about that particular issue, because for some nonprofits, the number one way that they lose engagement and they lose, if you know, dedicated members is because meetings start to drag on like that and people feel like their time is being wasted. And so we talk about, we spend a good 45 minutes talking about this topic. And one of the things we provide as educators that we provide during the workshop are some examples of agendas that you can draft that really help sort of address that issue. One thing we recommend is that for every line item on the agenda, you actually put a time frame, you know, 5 minutes for opening discussion, 3 minutes to go over the minutes. We even introduce an idea known as the consent agenda, where for all of those routine things that you have to vote through as an organization, like the minutes, like the reports from different committees, you vote them through just as a solid block, and it only takes about a minute or two to do that. So we talk about ways that you can tweak the agenda to really keep the group on track. And it seems like if you're able to do that and hand out an agenda with these timeframes, over time, people will start to adjust to that. But you have to have a strong, dedicated leader running the meetings to make sure that they follow that agenda. But when people in these workshops hear from others, because what's great about these workshops is we get people from all over the community who all serve on different boards talking, and they begin to realize, oh yeah, this is actually an issue everywhere. They begin to realize that, hey, actually there may be something to the idea of tightening up the agenda. Maybe that will actually work. So, you know, I asked the group a question at the very end of this 7-hour workshop. These are some great ideas, but how are you going to get your group to change that? And it's really interesting to hear the different things that people kind of float around as to, yeah, we've got these great ideas on how to tighten it up, but how do we get it to work? And often it's just asking questions of the group, you know, asking the group questions. I hear people say that, and that tends to get the group thinking about, yeah, maybe we need to make some changes. So it's a very valid question because it comes up every time.
Oh, absolutely. My guest is Steve Yoder, Regional Extension Educator with Community Development with Purdue Extension. And we're going to talk a little bit further about the Building Stronger Boards program and the workshops available here in just a few. So don't you dare go anywhere. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and you're watching and listening to Your Community.
The average American reaches for their mobile phone about 350 times a day. For Indiana farmers, that number is probably higher, as the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app keeps them updated on the latest markets, weather, and farm news information. If you haven't downloaded this free app, you're missing out on a powerful and portable resource. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app can be downloaded at the Apple Store and Google Play, and at HoosierAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
And we're back on the Your Community Podcast as Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network. And we're chatting about nonprofit organizations serving on your local community boards and how to make the most out of being not just a member of that board, but how to make the board do the most for its community. And our guest is Steve Yoder, Regional Extension Educator with Community Development with Purdue Extension. Let's talk about the workshops themselves. Tell me how often they're held, where they're being held, generally speaking. And I'm sure you mentioned that you just finished holding a workshop not too long ago in Southern Indiana. What can you tell me about the next several workshops, that are on the schedule for you and your team, Steve?
Well, you know, CJ, we actually don't have one of the full day workshops scheduled yet. So we have been offering about one or two a year. So for those big full day workshops where everyone in the community is allowed to participate, you can go to our community development website and find out when the next one will be scheduled. There's not one scheduled right now. If you're hearing this podcast and think that this might be something you'd like to bring to your community, that you think that the board members in your town, your county would benefit, contact your local county extension office and they can work with you and me to bring that program to your area. But in addition to the full day workshops, we also offer a half day version just for one individual board. So if there's a board out there that really wants to dive into some of these training topics and maybe has a half day retreat plan, a lot of boards do retreats like at the end of the year. I've got one that I'm involved with coming up next month. We have about a 3-hour version of this, shortened version, that's geared just to that board. And so we offer those about once a month is when we get requests for those. We do about 15 or 16 trainings total a year. Most of those are those, you know, individual boards. And then a couple times a year, we'll do those community-wide workshops.
And Steve, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you and your team if they'd like for you to speak to their board or just hold a workshop in their neighborhood?
They can go to the community development website and scroll through. The calendar events will show anything that's coming up in terms of workshops and whatnot that is open to the public. They can also, if you scroll down a little bit more, if you go to the leadership and civic engagement section, of that, click on there and then scroll down a few. There you see Building Stronger Boards right there. So if you click on that, you can learn more about the program, how to get a hold of us. I think in the contact information there, that middle black bar there, you'll find my contact information. And so that's one way to get a hold of us to bring this to your community.
Looks like your email, Yoder, Y-O-D-E-R 46 at purdue.edu, the best way to contact you and your team. Looks like to give a shout out to your team, Gina, Tara, Nick, Cora, and Lupe, correct?
Yep, that's correct. There are educators throughout the state that help put on this program.
Fantastic. And Steve, before I let you go, you know, we've talked about instances and we've talked about some poor examples of community leadership and community boards and basically what not to do. But I want to shine a spotlight on those boards and those community nonprofit organizations that are doing right, doing everything right. They've got the bylaws. They've got a strong leadership in terms of a president, in terms of a treasurer. They've got their finances are well taken care of. They have a two-person sign-off on all checks and balances and whatnot. What are some examples of those nonprofits that you've seen, that you've talked to different organizations, and you go, you know what? You guys are doing so many things right. Who are some of those examples, and who are some of the folks that, what are some of those examples of things that you take away and you go, you know what? I give you thumbs up. You guys are doing everything by the book, and your community should be proud.
You know what comes to mind first and foremost, I didn't have to think about it, are our local community foundations. So Indiana is really blessed to have representation from a community foundation in each and every of the 92 counties. And they seem to really understand this whole process, the structure of boards. They tend to be very well run. And, a lot of them spend time training their board members on what their roles are, just like what we try to do with our program. So it goes back to really the value of educating your board, spending the time, whether it's half an hour during a retreat, whether it's a full day workshop, maybe once every couple of years in your community. Those organizations that dedicate their time to that type of training, doesn't have to be from us. There are other organizations that provide this type of training in the state. Those tend to be the boards that I see are very well run and are great examples to talk about during our workshops.
And Steve, I always ask this question at the end of the interview, but is there anything else that I've forgotten to ask or that you'd like to include about the Building Stronger Boards program or the workshops for the program, Steve?
I would just say, if you're sitting here thinking about this, and maybe you serve on a board, and you've often wondered, you know, you felt a little fuzzy about what that role and responsibility is, please take advantage of one of our workshops. So keep your eye tuned to the community development website and scroll through our upcoming calendar events. And, there should be one coming up in the next 6 months or so. And again, if not, go ahead and feel free to reach out to me, one of the people on our team, or your local county extension office, and we'll get you in touch with the program and see what we can do to help bring this to your community.
Once again, Steve Yoder, Regional Extension Educator with Community Development with Purdue Extension, the program Building Stronger Boards, as you provide nonprofit board training. You've got programs, workshops. It runs the gamut. If you want Steve and his team to come to your community, talk to your board, or just come to your community and talk to several boards at once, the best way, once again, that email for Steve, yoder46@purdue.edu. And you can always Google Building Stronger Boards, Purdue Extension. That'll take you to the link as well. Steve, we could talk for another 10, 20, 30 minutes about the Building Stronger Boards program, but I certainly know that folks, if they want to reach out to you, you're there to answer questions and host these workshops. So, Steve, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for joining us on the Your Community Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you, CJ.
And thank you as well for joining us here on Your Community as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today.